Don't know if you guys heard this week in Claremont. If you live sort of that side of town, you know the South Lake Hospital sits down there. And next to the hospital, there is a training center. It's the National Training Center. It's where they train a lot of the triathletes, the national and Olympic triathletes around the world. It's a great place to be because you see some incredible people there in terms of that world. They also do physical therapy in the building. They have massage, sports massage therapy in the building. I mean, it's a pretty cool place. Swimming pool, swimming classes, the whole deal. It is exceptionally extraordinary to watch when the fire alarm goes off and they have to evacuate in the middle of the day. All of the people in the middle of physical therapy and in the middle of sports massage and in the middle of training and swimming. Yeah, it's kind of fun. And this week, I don't know if you heard, but the fire alarm was set off at the building and they all evacuated. And the fire department, you know, has to come out and check everything. What makes that story particularly fun is I heard actually a 3.5-year-old pulled the fire alarm. I did, yes. The reason I heard that was because it happened to be my 3.5-year-old. Woo! So if anybody tells me that small children don't have an impact on this planet, I beg to differ. I've seen a 3.5-year-old evacuate a building, okay? That's pretty awesome. So just watch your children if you're at the training center because they can get themselves into some serious trouble. You know, I kind of wish I could have YouTubed that video and that I actually videotaped it, but those moments, they sort of happen, you know, and then you kind of go, oh, that would have been nice to videotape, because I would have certainly posted that on YouTube, and probably if you typed into YouTube, you know, wow moments or dumb things that people do or whatever, this one would have popped in there somewhere, you know, 3.5-year-old child evacuates entire training center in the middle of the day. If you type that stuff into YouTube, though, it is pretty incredible what comes up, isn't it? If you type in the word dumb or dumb videos or dumb people into YouTube, oh, I mean, there are millions of videos you can watch. And you will go through them one at a time and go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No human being in their right mind would do something like that. That's why they call them dumb videos, right? Have you ever had moments like that where someone tells you a story or you watch a video or something and you just go, I mean, that is really dumb. That's really crazy. I've had plenty of those moments. I've lived in many of them and I've been a part of many of them, as I'm sure you guys have. In this story that God is unfolding here in the scriptures, one of the things Jesus does as he teaches as our rabbi, and as something that rabbis tended to do, is that they would speak in terms of things so absurd one way or the other that you would look at it and go, well, obviously nobody would ever do that. And then the point would be, exactly, so don't do this. You see how a rabbi would teach like that? They would create the absurdity, and then they would show you how the way that you're living, if you're not careful, may actually be like that absurdity, and you should stop doing it. It was a brilliant way of teaching, and Jesus utilized that skill on numerous occasions, and we have actually seen him utilize it in this beautiful sermon that we are in the middle of. So just a reminder before we actually turn into the scriptures, we are following Jesus literally in his dust, as you would a rabbi. He is an incredible rabbi with incredible authority. He's teaching. We are listening in. We are watching. We are observing. We are paying attention because Jesus may very well turn out to be the Messiah, the promised one that was sent of God. Now, we get to live in 2010 where we know the history, so we get to say ahead of time, he is the Messiah. But as we follow him, let's just keep a watchful eye, because as a Jewish man or woman, or even a Greek or a Roman, as you're listening into this guy, there are things he's doing, things he's saying that are just mind-blowing. And this particular sermon was no exception. You remember we followed Jesus onto the side of a mountain. He sat down. The Jewish guys are all there. Some people have come from Decapolis and from Rome and from Jerusalem. They're traveling in because they want to hear from this wise teacher. And Jesus sits down on the side of the mountain and he says, everybody sit down for a second. And he teaches for a little while, probably a few hours, as he teaches and discusses. And in that teaching, he lays out this incredible sermon that we have been traveling through. So we get to sit on that mountain today, really for the last time, because Jesus is about to get up and move on, and we're going to follow him. But today we get to hear the conclusion of one of the most powerful, unbelievable messages of all time, the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus lays it out. And that conclusion is going to be a story of total absurdity. And Jesus is going to go, here it is. Can you imagine someone doing something this dumb? And you're all going to go, no, we can't. And then Jesus is going to go, exactly. So don't be that person. Take a look, if you would, at the book of Matthew. Grab a Bible. There's under the seats there's a bunch of them, if you don't have one of your own here. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 on page 673 of our Bibles. So just turn there and hold your spot, page 673, as I just remind you of what Jesus has done here. Because this particular story we're about to hear, if you've been around the church on any level, especially as a child, you've heard the story. It's been told to you, but very, very rarely is it described to you in the context in which it's placed here. And so it becomes a story that when we see it in its context has a power about it we may have missed in the past. So what is the context? As Jesus is teaching, you remember he started this message off by the character of one of those people that belong to his kingdom, and you suddenly discover what Jesus is doing, big picture, is this. He is saying, I'm here to tell you how the kingdom of God functions, not only in an eternal sense in heaven someday after we die, but how the kingdom of God functions right here on the planet. Jesus was the one that said, thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God is near, Jesus kept saying as he walked around. And what Jesus wasn't meaning was that someday, very soon, the kingdom of God will come because I'll come for a second time. What he was saying is, the kingdom of God is near, man. You feel it? It's right here. And Jesus is now saying, you and I, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, then we are to live out the kingdom of God on this planet, and he's about to show us what that looks like. That's what this sermon is. Here's the kingdom of God lived out. This is what it looks like. This is how you do it. This is freedom. This is extraordinary. And as he unpacks that kingdom, something becomes very clear to all of us. If you've been around for the last while, you've seen it. That almost without exception, every time there's a principle in the kingdom of God laid out about how to live for the kingdom of God, you go, oh, well, this planet doesn't do that. And you suddenly realize, wow, the kingdom of God seems to be, for the most part, standing in opposition to the cultural ideas that we have about how we should live. Yeah, some kind of mix over a little bit, but for the most part, if you really do what the Sermon on the Mount calls you to do, you're going to be weird on this planet. And so you start going, wow, Jesus, there's this way to live, your principles, the kingdom of God lived out, and there's this way to live, the world's principles and their kingdom lived out. And they seem to be very, very different. And Jesus goes, yep, very different, very. So let me tell you who you are. If you follow Jesus Christ and you are one of his followers, you belong to the kingdom of God. You are changed and empowered, just as Brody read this morning. You are a new creation. The old is gone, and you now are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live out the kingdom of God. And you have become significant to the kingdom of God because you are salt and light to the world. Remember, this is everything Jesus taught. And then he said in the sermon, you remember this, right after salt and light, he said, I have not come here to abolish the law and to destroy it and to get rid of it so you can live in grace and live in freedom and do whatever you want. I have in fact come to fulfill the law, that is to explain it, unpack it, and demonstrate it in a way that will make it more powerful than you could ever imagine. And I'm asking you, the Christ follower, to live in the law in such a way that it leads to freedom, not legalism. So you are to live in it as beauty and as power, because the principles of the law were initially established to keep us free, not to kill us and stifle us. And Jesus says, here's the law. The way it was meant to be seen. And then he says, now that you know what the law is, understand that you only live in the law because you live in the presence of God. Here's what that looks like. And then you live in the presence of God. He is your judge. That's what this looks like. And when he judges you, it is your freedom. Remember all this? This is what Jesus taught us. Now he's done, right? You know who you are in Christ. You know you're salt and light. That's your purpose. You know that the law is your friend. You know that God is with you all the time. So do things as though that you're doing them for him and for no one else. And you know that his judgment is your freedom. And you go, sweet! That's awesome. And suddenly the westernized version of Christianity that says, hey, here's how it works. You say a prayer, dear Jesus, come in my heart. Jesus rescues you from hell, and the rest is your story. God won't do anything uncomfortable. That is an untrue version of Christianity. This is the version that says you get to follow Jesus and do exactly what he says, when he says it, how he says it, and you'll be free. And if you step to the left or the right of that, good luck, because it's death and destruction. Yeah, totally different version. And Jesus says, now that I've unpacked for you the beauty of following me, I'm going to leave you with this single, simple thought. And this is the story he tells, or the illustration he gives. Ready? Here it comes. It's really complex. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, which words is he talking about? This sermon that he's just done, right? Direct context. If you've heard this sermon, this incredible set of principles that describe the kingdom of God, if you've heard these words of mine and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell with a great crash. Okay, so we've probably heard that story before. You've probably sung the song, haven't you? The wise man built his house upon the rock. Yeah, I'm not gonna do that right now. But yeah, you've heard the song, right? This is the old story, and we all know that Jesus is the rock, and we all know that if you have a foundation of a house that isn't a rock, you're dead in the water, so you need to build good foundation. We've all heard those stories. But oddly enough, in this illustration, Jesus says, when you build the house, if you build your foundation on the rock, and it's different. Both houses are building foundation. One's building it on a rock and one's building on the sand. What is he talking about here and what makes this story so absurd to the Jewish listener and frankly the Roman and Greek listener too? Well, where does Jesus live? He lives in the Middle East. In the Middle Eastern region, in this particular place, most of that region is very dry. It's sort of a desert, arid region. Very similar, in fact, in some ways, to the Kalahari Desert, which stretches down into South Africa, where I grew up. I grew up in a town called Kimberley in the Kalahari Desert, and it's a dry place. And what happens in the desert that is fascinating is when we think of desert or arid or dry, we think of a place that has no rain, that has no water. And that is mostly true. But on occasion, the rains come to those places. And when they come hard and they come fast. Some of the biggest storms I've lived through was in South Africa, makes the storms here in Florida seem pretty light. When those things rolled in, man, they rolled in hard and they rolled in fast. And here's what would happen. They would dump a boatload of rain onto a very dry, hard place. You know what happens when that happens? This little word we call a flash flood. Don't know if you've ever seen a flash flood. They're quite extraordinary. In fact, let me just show you briefly. I looked at a number of videos. This is one that gives you a small idea of a flash flood. Take a look at this. This is a dry desert riverbed right there. No water whatsoever. And suddenly, here it comes. Looks perfectly tame, doesn't it? Oh yeah, that's gonna knock a house down. Not. But then strangely enough, it kind of keeps coming. And if you're sitting right there, So, as you are watching, did you see that? Okay, if you keep watching that video, it runs for another 2 minutes. That little dry riverbed that you saw the water trickle down, the guy takes a videotape from the side later on, and that river is a raging death trap for anybody that's near it. It's unbelievable. When I lived in South Africa, I remember as a little boy, my dad actually took me down to a riverbed. There had been some big storms, and they knew that some flash flooding were coming down. I stood in the riverbed as I watched water, a dry riverbed that as long as I'd grown up, I'd known it as a dry riverbed, years. And this water came around the curve just like that, started coming down. It gets to you and it starts filling up relatively quickly. We're talking about minutes, not hours, right? After a few minutes, you got to step out of the riverbed. And within just a few more minutes, that river turns into something that can wipe you off your feet. You wait another 30 minutes and that river turns into something that would seem so absurd to go near, you'd be crazy. Okay, so Jesus lives in a world just like this, where when it rains, and when it rains, it comes hard, and it floods things. It creates flash floods that come down the valleys, find every dry riverbed in the region, and floods it. So Jesus says this to the crowd, and you can imagine the snickers and giggles in the crowd as he does. Can you imagine a guy, doesn't live around here, doesn't know how things work in our region, and he comes here and he wants to build a big house. And he knows in his head, best place to build a house is on some flat land. So he goes out and he finds himself a dry riverbed. And he asks somebody, how long has this been dry? And they say, oh, I've grown up here and it's been dry for as long as I can remember. Sweet. Well, that seems like a great place to build. And he starts building his house on the riverbed. Doesn't that sound like fun? Now, if you were in the crowd on that mountain, you'd be sitting there and you'd lean over to your friend next to you and go, who'd be stupid enough to do that? And your friend would go, I don't know, but I sure wouldn't. See, you see the situation? This isn't some hypothetical. This is like, who would build a house on a riverbed in our country? Because when the rains come down and the streams rise, we all know what happens to those riverbeds. They turn into a torrent of rushing water that finds things in its path and kills them. And if your house happens to be on that riverbed, well, good luck on that because it's going to be demolished, killed, destroyed. You'll be sitting on the side of the riverbed going, what on earth just happened to my house? I swear it was right there just a minute ago. But if you build your house on high ground, on the rock, because it was a very rocky region, and you'd have your sandy riverbeds and your rock hills next to them. And Jesus says, if you build your house on the rocky region, on the high ground, then your house is safe and you are wise because everybody looks at you building your house and goes, now there's a guy that knows what he's doing. He's lived here long enough to understand how things work. But the guy building on the sand, we all laugh at him. And just when he's done creating the absurdity of that situation, he looks at all of us, all the guys sitting on the side of the mountain, and he says, I want you to listen very carefully to this. If you are the kind of person that builds your house on the principles of this world, that you buy into the philosophies of this planet, that you trust in the things of this planet, that you hold on to those things, I promise you that when the floods come, they will come fast, they will come hard, they hit you in a way you can't begin to imagine, and they will steal away everything you've built, and you will sit on the side of the bank, and you will not know what on earth just happened. But if you live your life and build your life on the principles that I have just taught you, on the wonder and beauty of the kingdom of God, this is tangible, guys. Jesus isn't saying having some hypothetical trust in him. If you trust in the rock of Jesus, you'll be fine. What does that even mean? He's saying, here are the principles. Here's how it works. I've taught you. Learn them. Put them into practice. And if you do, you are like a man building his house on higher ground. And when those floods come, which they will, you'll be standing on your patio looking over down at the riverbed going, wow, that looks pretty dangerous. Oop, look at that house. That's really sad. I did go down there and tell him a couple times, but clearly the riverbed seemed better. Which of the two stories do you want to be? So where do we live? We live in America, right? The land of the free and the land of the brave and the land of prosperity. And we lived in that prosperity for quite a while, didn't we? It was fun, wasn't it? It was a great ride. And we had homes and second homes and third homes because our equity in our first homes, woo, it just spiked and we knew, we figured it out, right? If you have one house and it doubles in price in 4 years, if you had four of those, well, then by the time you're 65, you'll be a multi-trillionaire. Let's do it, right? We did stuff like that. We looked at stocks and they just kept soaring up there. I mean, when once that beautiful bubble out of the West Coast started and the internet took off, I mean, we all knew that our futures were secure forever and ever. Amen, right? Because money was a rolling. And so we did our things, and before you knew it, there was a part of you, if you were anything like me, there was a part of you that started looking 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ahead and going, oh, this is great. I mean, I'm going to retire at 37. I'm going to have a great life because I now own 6 homes. And I've got stocks in that nice internet company. And then this weird thing happened. Like a flash flood. Somebody did something silly in government, I'm sure, and the entire thing came crashing down, right? That's what it was. It must have been. And it all came crashing down, and suddenly your 6 houses turned into -2, and those stocks you had, they were writing you telling you that you owed them taxes, but you had no more stocks to pay, and you couldn't figure out what happened, right? And slowly, subtly, and carefully, we placed our security and our trust and our lives, and we built them on the principles that this planet called us to build on. There are people in this room, people I know, that worked at companies for 20, 25, 30, 35 years of their lives, invested themselves, poured themselves in, right? And they were the kinds of people that would look at you and say, I have been there too long to worry about my job. I mean, when everybody else is gone, I'll still be here because I've been here forever. And then they got called into a room and they said, "You, we no longer need you, but thank you for playing for 33 years. Good luck, though. We're sure you'll find something else there in that horrible economy." And suddenly we all went, whoa, what on earth is this? And Jesus whispers and says, welcome to the flash floods, my friends. The flash floods, they don't just trickle in. It's minutes between a dry riverbed and a raging river. And you don't have time to empty the house and move. You just have time to watch your life drift away with the river. But Jesus says, the circumstances that we live in, the life we live in, when we are building our lives on the things we know that Jesus told us, that we are salt and light to the world, that we are new creations made new by Him, and we have a significance for His work, and that the law is the tool by which we live out the freedom that is ours on this planet. And as we live it out in the presence of God, He is our Father, so we can give what we have away because we don't care. And we don't judge others, but we judge truth. If all these things are true day for day in our lives, we are building our life on a solid foundation, and that foundation is set on the principles of the kingdom of God. That's the context of this. The principles of the kingdom of God is what Jesus just taught us, and it is those principles that He's telling us are the rock we need to build our house on. And so Jesus says, if you're wise, you'll be building daily on those principles. Now, I find interesting stories on this planet because I have the privilege in my position, especially when economies crash, to get to sit and watch stories unfold in front of me at coffee tables. And it's extraordinary what happens when you watch the difference between people that have built their entire lives on the principles of the kingdom, and these kinds of flash floods come, and you feel like you're listening to them standing on the edge of a patio, looking down at a riverbed and going, wow, it got crazy out there, didn't it? Woo! Yeah, we felt the wind. I lost my job. Everything went nuts. My entire life savings is gone. This is my wife, and I love her dearly, and we're doing great. Better marriage than we've ever had in our lives. And you go, wow. Your whole world was built on a solid principle. You don't really care about all that other stuff, do you? Well, I'm a little stressed about it, but whatever. I've also gotten to sit and watch people sit down and go, all of it is gone. What do I do? I mean, I don't even know who this person is. Man, let me tell you, Jesus is telling us that if you choose to build your life on the principles of this planet, Your marriage isn't safe. Your children aren't safe. Your life isn't safe. Your stuff isn't safe. Yeah, you feel like it is because you feel like if you truly give yourself to Jesus, he'll take all that stuff from you. But you got it all wrong. He may take it all from you, but that's the point, isn't it? That it was never yours in the first place. It's not yours to worry about it. He is going to be the one that will become your safe place. But we go, oh, no, that doesn't make any sense to me. I need to hold on to these things. And when we live like that, Jesus says, if you live by what you've just learned, trust me on this. Well, the flash floods are going to come, but you won't be in the riverbed. Now, let me just share one last illustration with you, because whenever I think about these stories, I always think to myself about all the practical people that are in the room, because I'm not one of them. You know, I like the intangible, and I dream stuff up, and I just run with whatever. But there's lots of you that are practical, and you start going, well, how do I know I'm building on the riverbed or on the rock? I don't know. I mean, you know, most of my days, I'm dabbling in lots of things in the world, but I feel like I'm a Christ follower. Am I? Am I safe? I don't know. Please tell me. I don't want to die. Right? I know, I get it, right? Let me share with you two kinds of people, okay? Just so you can either settle yourself now or jump and run for the rocks as fast as you can, depending on where you land, right? There are those people in the world that spend themselves building on the rock, right? They know the principles of God. They're in the Word regularly. They're digging in, and they know what Jesus says, and they know what he teaches, and they're constantly learning, and they're constantly implementing. And then there are many days in their lives where they walk down to the riverbed. And they go and dabble in the riverbed. Oh, this riverbed feels good too. I like that. This is awesome. Not the best idea, folks, okay? But if you are building your life on the rock and you dabble in the riverbed, if the flash flood comes, worst case scenario, it's going to knock you off your feet. You'll quickly run to the shoreline and go and hang out in the beauty of the principles you've lived and you've built. So just because you struggle with the flesh and you do some things that aren't God's way doesn't mean you're building your house on the riverbed. Settle your heart. You're okay. Just make sure that what you're building in, what you're buying into, what you're believing, what you're living by are the things of God, not the things of this planet. And that's how we make sure, that's the principles he gives us, that we make sure we constantly live out. That's why we tell you in places like this weird stuff, like in the church you hear, give your money away. And you go, what? That's why the church does that. Well, it's the why they should do that. It's not always why they do that, but they should be doing that to say, keep yourself free from buying into the things of this world, because when the time comes, you're going to need to be safe on the rock, right? There's another set of us, and we need to pay close attention. We build our house on the sand in the riverbed, and then what we do is we steal a few principles from the scriptures, little rocks, and we stick them under our house. This'll do it! That'll keep everything standard. We're the people that come to church, and we look great, and our lives look great, and we say the spiritual things. We've memorized 3.5 verses so that whenever we need to answer something, we can answer it quickly and well. We get onto the committees, and we do the things, and we say, oh, my life, it follows Jesus. But we buy into the things of the world. We live by them. We trust in them. And those are the people that have built a house on the sand, and they use spirituality and the Bible and God as a neat little foundation stone under their house. And they stick little rocks in under the house on the riverbed, while the other people that have built on the high ground that live out the principles are looking down going, I don't know that the rocks are going to help much, because you haven't seen the river, man. When the river comes, it blasts the house away, and you'll see the rocks rolling down the river with the house. Because those rocks won't mean anything to you. They were just little spiritual tidbits that you threw under your house as though they somehow made everything okay. And that is unfortunately the kind of Christianity that we have sold in the Western culture. You get to have your house on your neat riverbed and build it any way you want, and you just do your thing, and God loves you so much that he died on the cross. So you say a prayer and stick it under the corner of the house. Dear Jesus, come in my heart, but leave me alone. And you stick it in there, and you're like, I am safe. Yes, and then you start going to church, and you come once a week for 1 hour, and you take one little tidbit away, a principle usually that you can plug into your business or plug in, and you go, sweet, another rock to put under the house. Be cautious, folks. Be cautious. Jesus was not the kind of guy that said, follow me on your terms. He was the kind of guy that said, follow me or don't follow me. But if you follow me, you do it my way, because I happen to be your creator and sustainer and the God of the universe. So understand, as Jesus is teaching here in this illustration, is that he is calling us to say, what is it you are building your life on? Is it the philosophies and principles of this world that you buy into? Or is it the philosophies and principles of the kingdom of God that you buy into? And then you need to pick which way you're going to live. And if you live God's way day after day in principle, you believe the things he says, you act on those things, then when the storms come and the flash floods rage, you won't even have to worry about them because your house ain't on the riverbed. It's not like the water surrounding your house and your house will stand. You're on a high ground. But if you are here today and you've bought into a Christianity that tells you you can throw a few neat spiritual things into your life, but live the life any way you want, doing what you want, and buying into the things of this world, check the riverbed, man. Pick up the house, pull it apart, rebuild it somewhere else. It's important. The principles of God are freedom. They're not easy, and they come with a price, but they are freedom. Living by the principles of the world are easy, and they don't come with much of a price, but they are death. And that's what Jesus tells us. Who would be absurd enough to know what I just taught you, not me, Renaud, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, and still build their life on the things of this world? Nobody, right? Nobody. Maybe not. Let's hope we're not those people. Foolish. Let's hope we're the people that are wise. Let's pray. God, show us, teach us, remind us that your word was not given to us as a second thought of our day or something we run to when the storms come and our house is drifting down a river. But your word was given to us so that we could build our lives on the principles of your word. So that when the storms come, we don't need redemption from the mess, that we already live in the freedom that is your redemption. God, I pray that you would keep us safe from ourselves, from the things we buy into, from the ideas we choose to live by that this world whispers to us. Remind us, God, that on this planet, everything is fleeting. Everything is temporary. Everything comes and everything goes. God, I love what you said in your word through Paul when he wrote and said, whether in plenty or in want, whether in prison or free, whether well-fed or hungry, I have learned the secret of being content, that I can do everything, all those circumstances, I can do them through Christ who strengthens me. God, may your word, your principles, your gift of the message you brought to us, the gospel, in all of its fullness, become the principles on which we build our lives, so that this church and the people that represented would be the videos on YouTube someday that we YouTube to learn from, to see wisdom in, and that our lives would not be the videos we YouTube on dumb things to do. God, may we not be foolish and think we can live on the riverbed and dabble in the things that are yours, but help us to be wise and live in the principles that are yours and be cautious to try and dabble less in the things on the riverbed. Keep us free. Keep us safe. Bind us. Imprison us. Invade us with your principles and call us into them. We love you, Jesus. Amen.